There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
UVA football is the softest bunch of cream puffs, bow tie wearing, brie cheese eating, Ascot wearing wussies I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to punch people from UVA right in the neck. They wear suits to games. That's absurd.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Guys in Ties podcast. I'm Robert Elder. I'm here with my partner in crime, Dustin Jones. Dustin, how are you doing, man?
We're doing good. We're having some ties and guys time. It's a Sunday night. It's President's Day tomorrow. No work. That's good. And we're just having a chill time. We're going to play some games tonight. We're going to have a good time. But first, we got to talk about some basketball. But I want to check out on Rob. Rob, how are you doing?
I'm great, man. You good? It was a very good weekend. I had the family in town. It was a rough week at work, but had the family in town. I haven't worked much this weekend. We'll see how tomorrow goes. We're technically off for what that means. But no, it's very good. And, you know, we're coming off what was a tough Duke game, and now we got two consecutive wins. Mm-hmm. One really, really good win over North Carolina.
And one win, just a regular win.
We'll just call it a win. But I don't want to discredit any ACC win. So we're doing good. Mm-hmm. We're doing good. And you got Monday off for school, right?
Yeah, we don't go to school on Monday because of President's Day. Thank you to all the presidents out there.
Amen.
You know, presidents of Who Crew and whatnot, especially. and so...
Thanks, Dustin.
Yeah, and so... but yeah, we're going to have a good time tonight. And so we're just going to start off with... some recaps of the UNC and Notre Dame games, and then we're gonna get into some. We're gonna do the J-Huff segment.
We have to,
and then we're gonna get into some other fun stuff later. So, Rob, lead us off with the UNC stuff. What did you like? What did you see? What did you notice?
Well, I think the first thing we need to point out is that this is a huge win. Mm-hmm. A win on the road over North Carolina. You know, most UVA coaches don't win against Carolina. They don't win on the road against Carolina. Mm-hmm. And Tony Bennett does. I forget what the stat is, but he's the first UVA coach, I think, to have three road wins against Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, don't take this. I don't want to sound like UVA Twitter necessarily, but we love you, UVA Twitter. I'm part of you. But, like, don't take this for granted. Like, yeah, we were down in the second half. Yeah, we were. And we came back because we have really good players. Mm-hmm. And I think, to me, that's the biggest thing is, obviously, we love Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett is a great coach. But at the end of the day, there's a saying that says coaches are only as good as their players. And obviously, there's a back and forth relationship with that. But, I mean, Kyle Guy won us that game at the end. And, you know, if we're going to do something in March, DeAndre Hunter, Ty Jerome, one of them's going to have to do something like that again. And to know that we can do that, I think that's incredibly significant against a top 10 team on the road. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Dustin?
Yeah, I think it's just nice to see that, you know, after a tough Duke loss, to come back 2 days later, go on the road in a tough North Carolina environment, get down early in the second half, like pretty good. Like yeah. They were whooped us in the first 10 minutes of that opening second half. But we were able to come back. We showed our stuff, and Kyle Guy had some good free throws. DeAndre had some good plays too, and you know, really played as a team. We didn't panic. We didn't look like we didn't belong. And so I felt good. I wasn't able to watch it live. I watched it later, but because I was at a Caps game. But looking back at it, it seemed that a lot of people were happy that we could go down and then come back. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was a good thing.
That's a significant thing, like without question. And I think It's a significant thing. Yes, North Carolina also played the Saturday before mm-hmm. against Miami, and they did go to overtime.
Yeah.
But, like, let's not kid ourselves comparing Miami and Duke. Duke might be the best college basketball team I've ever seen in my
ever.
Life right now.
Ever.
I don't want to crown them yet, but they're incredible. They're incredible. And the way that in 48 hours to go, you know, against Duke and then go on the road against North Carolina, you know, that matters. And to have performances... One thing I said against Duke is that our stars have to step up. You know, mm-hmm. in big games, we have to have our best players play. Let's look at how our best three players did against North Carolina. DeAndre Hunter, 7-for-10 field goals. Kyle Guy, 7-for-13, but 5-for-9 from three.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Jerome, 5-for-9 from the field. You know, Ty Jerome also had 11 assists. Yeah, some people are going to say, oh, but Nasir Little didn't play most of the game. Oh, mm-hmm. but what is it? Cam Johnson got hurt towards the end. But... You know, that happens. And what do you think happened to Virginia the past couple of years? Mm-hmm. Like, we haven't been at full strength. So I want to emphasize how important I think this one is, because I think it really does matter. And I think it's a really good thing, because personally, I'm not counting out North Carolina. And if North Carolina beats Duke on Wednesday, that would not surprise me.
Is it at UNC or at Duke?
I'd have to check. I'm not sure.
You know, because, you know, the thing about, you know, throw it out because it's a rivalry game. But
Of course.
Yeah, you can't
take away everything. How else would we do it?
Take away everything. But the thing about UNC is it kind of goes back up to, we were talking about this earlier.
It's at Duke, by the way.
Oh, it's at Duke. It goes back to Roy Williams. And I've said this for years. I think Roy Williams is, he's a good coach for sure. But there are things that he does that are not necessarily... great. And for instance, this year he has shown the inability to want to go small. He loves playing big. You know, you think of North Carolina, you think of rebounding, you think of second chance points off of offensive rebounds. And this year their best players are smaller. Mm-hmm. You think of Nasir Little and you think of Kobe White. Luke May mm-hmm. is a small 4 or 5. So mm-hmm. they need to go small, and Roy Williams has not done that consistently this season. And so I think it's holding them back a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, let's also talk about Luke May in this game. Luke May played 36 minutes but had 4 points.
Yeah.
You know, if that's not the pack line defense, I don't know what is.
0 of 3 from 3.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great effort. I know I sound like a broken record because I said I think we can beat Duke mm-hmm. on a normal night. I think we can beat Duke. And on a not-so-normal night, you know, for both teams, we end up beating Carolina.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just really excited about this team. And there are some kinks in the armor, you know, we'll talk about that because some of them showed up against Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it was an admirable performance, and it's something that I'm really proud of.
But
this
is helpful. This is helpful for March. You know, if we get to the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight and we play a team like Carolina, who is good and who has some size, and we're just not hitting all the shots that we need to, or we're turning the ball over at a higher clip than we should. You know, this shows that we can come back and we can make shots at the end. We can play defense well enough to yeah. down the stretch, and I think this is a good thing for our team, is to be in these close games, but then take it into March and really do something with it.
And, like, not to be in close games against just anybody. Like, I would have rather beat Notre Dame by more points.
Yeah, but at UNC.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, this is how you get to the Final Four,
yeah.
you know, and we've been saying this and we've been doing this for years now at this level in the regular season, but mm-hmm. like, you know, we can talk about this later in another episodes, but we have three really, really good players, and that core of three is not going to be here next year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's, like, to see them do something like this makes me really excited for what's going to come in a month or so.
Yeah, no, I think that this is a good sign. You know, even though we didn't have a very strong performance against Notre Dame, I think that the UNC performance shows that, you know, we do get up for these big games. We can go on the road and beat these good teams, even though if they don't play at full strength, or, you know, whatever excuses you might want to make.
Yeah. So I don't want to spend too much time on this because yeah. depending on when we get this out, it might have been a week from now that
right.
we played Carolina, but it is a big game. Let's move on to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, Dustin, I know we both watched this game. You watched mm-hmm. this game live. Tell me, and I watched it this morning. Dustin, tell me what you thought about watching the Notre Dame game.
It was frustrating. I mean, personally, just because we would go up by 9 or 10, and Notre Dame would seemingly hit 2 or 3 shots to get back within 4 or 5. And so it just seemed like we can never really get ahead, even though we were comfortably in the lead for most of the time. Mm-hmm. And so it was frustrating to me that we could not pull away from this scrappy young Notre Dame team.
Do you think there was anything we could have done better that would have helped us pull away?
Hit some shots. I mean, we.
Do you think it's that simple?
No, I mean, you know, there's just some open shots that we missed in the first half, which was, I mean, you know, the first 10 minutes were awful. Mm-hmm. They were horrible. Kyle was the only guy who could hit anything.
I could tell that.
Dre was missing every open, you know, elbow three or elbow jumper that he was taking. Ty was 0 for 6 from 2 for the whole game. So, you know, stuff like that where you it makes you realize that if we don't hit shots, you know, you're not going to win the game. And that, mm-hmm. that seems simple. But in reality, it was just, you know, we were had an off day. I bet we were looking ahead to Tech a little bit. You know, it's a rivalry game. We're at Tech.
Another quick turn.
Another quick 48 turn. 48 hours. Yeah, so I think we might have been looking ahead a little bit. Ty might not be 100% yet. But other than that, I thought we played, you know, relatively well. We only had 8 turnovers, which is good. We were keeping the turnovers down. Only 6 fouls for the game. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was good. Momedy had 4 of them, but Momedy had a really good game as well defensively. You know, just overall, our stars came to play. Again, Kyle and Dre especially. Kyle had 22 and Dre had 20. So I think that really shows that we know where our strengths are and we know how to beat a team like Notre Dame.
Yeah. So watching this game, you know, again, I didn't watch it live, and Dustin and our good friend of the pod, Austin Foster, mm-hmm. you know, one of the guys, you know, they provided great insight for me as I showed the family around on the National Mall yesterday. But so a couple things stand out to me when I watched the game and when I looked at the box score. So I'm watching the game, and the obvious thing is that we're not hitting our shots. You know, mm-hmm. the threes aren't all coming in. Kyle Guy's hitting some threes, but they're mostly contested. You know, we're just not hitting all our shots. That's kind of the easy thing to say looking at the game. So then I look at the box score and I see two things that really stand out to me. One good, one bad. So the good, 14 to 17 free throws. Mm-hmm. When it came down to crunch time, we hit our free throws,
yeah.
and that matters. And the fact that we got 17 free throw attempts, you know, the past couple of games, we've been getting 8 free throws, 9 mm-hmm. free throws, 7 free throws. You know, 17 is a good number, and it's a number that I think we should, you know, really strive to be at. Now, the not so good, and this is my spin on it, feel free to tell me I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Kyle Guy has 22 points. DeAndre Hunter has 20 points. But that's kind of it for the balance.
Yeah.
That's kind of it. You know, the next highest scorer was Ty Jerome with 8.
Yeah.
After that, it was Momedy Diakite with 5. Mm-hmm. Momedy didn't start, so it's an interesting trend, you know, post head-to-head collision against Duke. Mm-hmm. Didn't start for the second game in a row, so that's an interesting thing to keep your eye on. But it was really top-heavy scoring. Yeah. And that's not where this team is at its best. It's best when it's able to get 10 points from Momedy Diakite, yeah. when, you know, Braxton Key is able to get 8 points. Ty Jerome is around that 11 to 12 mm-hmm. range. So it was an interesting game, but it was top-heavy scoring, which I don't think is where this team is at its best.
I mean, to be honest, this was a classic Tony Bennett of past yeah. you know, kind of game. 60-54. The other team didn't get over 55, and we didn't get over 60. And that's kind of how, you know, we grew up. Like when we were at school at UVA, this is kind of the formula that UVA used for mm-hmm. winning games was keeping the scoring low. It looked ugly at times. You know, we only scored 0.98 points per possession, which mm-hmm. is pretty bad for yeah. us, especially this it's season. Low. Especially this season, when we have all these people like Dre and Kyle and Ty and
three players
and
who can play in the NBA yeah. that we for sure for yeah. sure, and we'll see about the others. Sorry, yeah.
but I mean, you know, this was just like a. And I'm going to say it's an off game, and we didn't play well. We didn't play our best. We played fine. Like, you know, we played, I think, down to Notre Dame a little bit. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame definitely played a lot better than the first time we played them.
No,
I think,
no
I, think
doubt. No doubt.
I think the coaching from Mike Bray was great. Every time he called a timeout, they always had a play to get either a three or an easy bucket. So I think that not to write off this game at all, because I think it's an important win, and every win in the ACC is good, like as Tony said in his press game conference or post game conference. But you know, whatever, however we do it, it doesn't matter just as long as we get there. But there are definitely some things to work on.
Yeah. And I think it's important that you bring up Mike Bray, because ultimately, you know, like I said, players make coaches look good, but obviously it's a two-way relationship. And Mike Bray is a heck of a coach. I mean, Mike Bray has led some of the better ACC teams for the past couple of years. You know, he's had some guys hurt this year. He had some guys graduate. You know, they're not where I think he wants them to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of, very different styles, but it almost kind of reminded me of when we played that Kevin Keats team in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, Coach obviously, Carolina.
We were way better than they were.
Mm-hmm.
But coaching matters. And, you know, it's one of these things that goes back and forth between players and coaches. And we're lucky enough to have good both at UVA between Tony Bennett and all our players that we have and the players that are coming in, too.
Yeah.
So, but good coaching matters. And I think that played a role today or this weekend.
One thing that Mike Bray did really well was switch the defense on us. So we were never really comfortable in what Notre Dame was showing us on the defensive end. Sometimes they were in zone. Sometimes they were in man. Sometimes they were even in zone and then switched to man whenever we would start running a set. And so it was really difficult to get settled, I think. They also did some three-quarter court press, which threw us off a little bit, I think. I don't know. I don't think we turned it over during the game, but certainly down the stretch, it started to matter a little bit. One thing I want to mention is Jay Huff. And I think this is our Jay Huff segment for
today. Let's do it.
And he only played 3 minutes in the first half. He had 3 trillion, which means that he had no stats at all. He had no fouls, no steals, no blocks, no assists, no turnovers, no rebounds, no shot attempts.
Just 3 minutes
in the first half. And why do you think he didn't play in the second half? I can't come up with a reason.
So Dustin and I were talking about this. And, you know, when I was watching, Notre Dame was playing a good bit of zone. And the question becomes, you know, when is Jay Huff at his best? You know, it's one of these things they talk about it in football. You can talk about it in basketball. You want to put your players in the best position to make the plays they're good at. And that's what coaching is about. Coaching during the game is about putting your best players in the position to make the plays they're best at. So with Jay Huff, you know, most of the time he's playing the five, you know, and against the zone, it's almost like you need a bigger, more consistent physical presence, you know.
But is Jack Salt a more consistent presence than Jay Huff?
Well, this goes back, and I go back to what Mark Titus says.
Uh-huh.
Mark Titus says that, you know, Jack Salt is a better screener, but Jay Huff's a better basketball player.
Right.
But I don't know. It's something worth questioning, because this is one of those things where I think it's very, very, like, this is the type of game I want Jay Huff to play in, because I think we're going to win whether Jay Huff plays or not. And I just see Jay Huff as this massive X factor.
Right.
This massive X factor come March. And I don't have an answer. And
but in a close game where we only win by 6 points against a horrible Notre Dame team, don't you want our X factor to at least get a shot to play in the second half?
I think so. And you could see too. You could see in the first half that when Jay Huff was in the game, I remember one instance specifically, and there was only 3 minutes of stuff to choose from. But I remember one instance specifically where Jay Huff is in the game, and there's a fake pass to Jay Huff, who's in the post, and then that makes Kyle Guy's man go down to the post where Jay Huff is. Kyle Guy has a wide-open three-point shot at the top of the key. I can't remember if he makes it or not. Regardless, it was a good basketball play.
Yeah.
It was interesting. You know, what do you think about this, Dustin? Do you think Jay Huff should have played more in the second half?
Jay Huff should have played more in the second half. I mean, Jack only played 13 minutes. Mamadi played 27. You could definitely give some of Mamadi's minutes to, like, at least five. Mm-hmm. Right.
So Mamadi played 27 minutes without starting.
Without starting.
It's interesting.
He had 4 fouls. Jack only had 13 minutes. I think I really don't know what Tony is thinking here. And I'm not saying I know more than Tony Bennett. He definitely knows more than me. He knows what's right for this team. I just don't see a reason to not at least give Jay three more minutes in the second half against when our team might be struggling to get some shots in. And maybe it was because, you know, we were back and forth the whole time. We'd go up by 9 and we'd go up by 4, go up by 9, go up by 4. It felt like that the whole second half.
Mm.
And maybe throwing Jay in there might have thrown off our team or thrown off the way Tony wanted to run the offense against what Notre Dame was running. I'm not sure. But in any case, it felt like Jay should have gotten some more run. I'm surprised he didn't. But in the end, it didn't seem to matter that much.
Yeah. I mean, In the sense that it didn't matter because we won the game.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So it's weird, though. You look at every player. Now, Jack's, it is worth mentioning, and maybe this is a thing that Tony Bennett didn't like the traditional five. Not that Jay Huff's the traditional five, but he normally plays the five when he's in a game. And, you know, Jack Stoll only played 13 minutes. Jay Huff plays 3 minutes. And then out of those low post guys, you know, Mamadi Diakite plays 27 minutes. So maybe Tony Bennett, and again, I'm more of a football guy anyway. You know, at the end of the day, I'm going to trust Tony Bennett's judgment way more than I trust my own judgment. But in my head, man, like, I see what I'm scared of is that we get to March and something weird happens, something that we don't expect.
Right.
And then all of a sudden we're without some player and that we need Jay Huff to come in and play.
Right. Well, okay. The only two players that we would need Jay Huff to play more were Jack and Mamadi. So if one of them gets hurt, right, and we need Jay Huff to play.
But we had that scared with Mamadi Diakite.
And if he's not ready, what happens? Yeah.
I just want him to play, and I don't want, I say I would have been very mad if we lost Notre Dame. I'm not kidding myself. I would have been mad if we lost Notre Dame. But at the end of the day, the thing is you got to weigh what's more important. And we've seen so much how we win during the regular season, but how we don't win enough when the NCAA tournament starts. And Jay Huff can be such an X factor that I want to make sure that this team, not just Jay Huff, but that this team is ready to play with Jay Huff so that we can be effective if we need to put him in when the time comes.
The only thing I can think of, the reason why Jay didn't play is because their five, Notre Dame's five player, John Mooney, who's really good.
He's a great player.
He's a really good player.
He looks like he held B too long when you're shooting on 2K. Yeah. He has a long release. But that's beside.
Well, you know,
point.
He can shoot. He can take you off the dribble a little bit. But he's only 6'9", and he's definitely quicker than Jay. Jay might not have the foot speed to keep up with him. So the only thing I can think of is if John Mooney plays a lot, Jay might not play a lot. And we joke about the matchups, but honestly, John Mooney on Jay Huff is not a great matchup, because if you take Jay out that far, he's not useful. He's not near the basket. He's not helpful. So maybe it's, you know, kind of a matchup thing that Tony was looking at. But other than that, I don't see any other reason. Maybe he's injured. I don't know.
Yeah. And the one thing I do want to bring up before we kind of wrap this up is that Jay Huff did play 8 minutes against North Carolina, which on the surface isn't great. But he played the final 4 or 5 minutes against North Carolina. Like, literally the last minutes of the game.
He was there in crunch time.
Jay Huff was in. And, you know, he had that layup, I think it was, where he got fouled. He didn't make the free throw. He only finished with 2 points. He did get a steal and 2 rebounds. But, you know, I haven't figured it out yet. I don't know what Tony Bennett's philosophy with Jay Huff is, other than the fact that he just says Jay Huff has played well in practice, so he earned his minutes in the game. Like, it's still a little bit of a mystery.
You know, I've been wondering if Jay Huff is on some sort of schedule. You know, if he is getting, you know, workouts or some sort of minute counter, because that's the only reason I can think of why he doesn't play a little bit more than he does. And that's probably goes back to, you know, last year, the shoulder injury probably set him back a little bit. He probably couldn't do basketball workouts for a while. That's the only thing I can think of, is maybe if he's on some sort of, you know, counter or limit or whatever.
Yeah, no, that could definitely be the case. That would make a lot of sense, honestly. I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. But when we talk about minutes, I think one thing that I do want to bring up, and I told Dustin I wanted to bring this up before we started, we talk about minutes against Notre Dame. Kyle Guy did play all 40 minutes. Now, Ty Jerome played 38 and DeAndre Hunter played 36. But Kyle Guy played all 40 minutes.
Yeah.
You know? It's pretty impressive. And Dustin, I know what I think about this. When I tell you Kyle Guy played all 40 minutes against Notre Dame, what does that make you think about?
Good. I say good because he's a good player. And honestly, he was the only one making shots in the first half. So not surprising that Tony didn't take him out. But in all honesty, like, I know you want to talk about this, but I think Kyle is underrated as a player at UVA. Definitely. Just based on the hype that DeAndre gets and the hype that Ty got over the summer, it felt like Kyle kind of took a back seat to all the noise and all the nonsense that people talk about. And he doesn't deserve that. And that I think that's really interesting that, you know, certain people talk about Ty and Dre more than Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
But the national media talks about Kyle more than Ty and Dre. And yeah. We talked about this weird thing earlier where no one can figure out who is the best player on UVA's team right now.
Yeah.
Or the most important player.
Yeah.
You can make an argument for all three of them.
Yeah. Well, you know, the draft scouts say DeAndre Hunter. I'm not saying they're wrong. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Hunter is special athletically. He's got special talent.
Yeah.
And he's got really good things that athletically, you know, apply directly to the NBA. You know, mm-hmm. his length, his athleticism, his ability to defend, his ability to shoot when open, at least, to shoot when open, is very good. And Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome, you know, all we heard during the offseason was Ty Jerome, you know, the Chris Paul camp, he was doing so well.
Right. And,
you know, I even saw it. You know, I was at the Pepsi Blue White scrimmage, and I saw how this team is going to flow through Ty Jerome.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, I felt like we in Charlottesville, we the UVA people, lost track of how good Kyle Guy was.
Right.
You know, Kyle Guy was the freshman. You know, Ty Jerome had his moment against Villanova. But Kyle Guy was the freshman that was there, you know, day in and day out. He was really doing the impact. And he was there last year, and he's there this year. No surprise.
Yeah.
So I want Kyle Guy, not that he hasn't had his moment in the spotlight, but I think we need to appreciate that Kyle Guy is truly a special player. Now, I don't know. His five-star ranking towards the end was a little bit, you know, yay or nay. You know, some people said yes, some people said no. But Kyle Guy is the most gifted basketball player in the past 5 years that I've seen on a UVA court. I mean, I remember watching him play as a freshman the first time I saw him warm up and seeing his release, just how quick it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd never seen a player catch and shoot in, you know, the blue and orange like that.
I mean, he freaking jumps and like sticks his legs in two different directions,
you know,
and he still can somehow get it close to the basket.
What Coach K said, which I think is accurate, he was like, you know, he's the closest player to JJ Redick that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that he is JJ Redick, because JJ Redick was a really special player.
Right.
But I mean, guys, appreciate Kyle Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Guy is incredible. And he is a guy that is deserving of every bit of respect, every bit of national notoriety that he gets.
Yep.
He is, and I don't know if it'll return next year. My guess is that he will. My guess is that he'll be back for a fourth year.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that guy is as critical a piece to the puzzle as there is.
He's a baller, and, you know, he does so many incredible things on the floor. He's an underrated passer as well. Like, he had a dirty pass to Mamadi in between two Notre Dame defenders on Saturday, and he has good vision. He doesn't turn it over very much. He's a really good player, and his shooting is incredible. Like, we've talked about his shooting, and he's grown so much as well. Like, he can drive now. He has a nice floater that he can get in the basket a couple times. He's a really good free throw shooter, and he's an amazing player.
And do you want to hear an interesting stat?
Yes, please.
He's fourth on the team in rebounds behind Braxton Key, DeAndre Hunter, and Jack Salt. He has more rebounds than Mamadi Diakite.
I'm not surprised.
He is a terrific basketball player.
Yeah.
Like, I just want everyone to know that. Like, that, you know, DeAndre Hunter is special, and that will probably be a lottery pick. Dustin and I looked up what the definition of a lottery pick was before the episode. It's apparently top 14. So he'll probably be a lottery pick. Ty Jerome, we're questions whether or not he'll stay.
We're college basketball guys.
We're not NBA guys. No doubt. I mean, Kyle Guy, like, just appreciate this man. And again, I'm starting to sound like UVA basketball Twitter, and we love you guys, but this is a special player that don't forget about this guy, because this guy will be probably, it wouldn't surprise me, and I would bet money that he's first team all ACC. And if it wasn't for the, you know, how great those Duke players are, RJ Barrett, Zion Williamson, he'd have a say in ACC player of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, first team all ACC is kind of a crapshoot sometimes, because you don't really know, like you're gonna get two Duke players on there, you're gonna get Zion and RJ, and you think you get one UVA player, whether it be Kyle, Ty, or DeAndre, and then kind of one other one who comes from somewhere.
I bet Luke May.
I bet Luke May does not make it. He hasn't played well this year.
Yeah, he just got ACC Player of the Week.
But that doesn't
per
mean
Raycom
he's been good.
Sports.
Thank God Raycom is going away. Can't wait for ACC Network. Good God. But yeah, anyway.
I bet Luke May makes it. I would put money on that.
I bet money he does not.
Okay, well, it's on the
record. The guys are at a disagreement. When we're going to make fun of one another when this comes
we'll
out
find
in a couple
out.
Months. Yeah. But anyway, I think, so we did our J-Huff segment. We did a quick Kyle Guy segment. Is there anything else you want to touch on the Notre Dame or UNC games?
One thing that I told you I didn't want to bring this up necessarily, but I feel like we might as well bring this up, is what we think the role of Kihei Clark is on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what I think, Dustin. When you think of Kihei Clark, I guess he's struggled offensively the past couple of games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's not, you know, pretend that he hasn't. And he's got some good things going for him, and he's got some really important roles on this team. He started the past couple of games, but I want to know what you think of when you think of Kihei Clark.
He's still growing. You know, he's a freshman. And when you think of freshman point guards in college basketball, none of them, unless you're really, really special, you don't necessarily need to be the offense, the whole offense. And we can go back to London his freshman year. Like, he came in and we could tell he was special. Like, he had good vision. He didn't turn the ball over at all. But he also didn't really add a lot to the offense. I mean, he could shoot a little bit, but he didn't really create his own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He did have a lot of players on that team. He had Joe, he had Akil, he had Anthony Gill, he had Malcolm. So there's a lot of other people on that roster who could score for him, which is fine. And I think Kihei's in a similar situation where he doesn't need to be the number one option right now. And hopefully he never has to be the number one option, because I think he's a much better distributor than he is scorer. That being said, he has the ability to score. We've seen him blow past people. Mm-hmm. We've seen him make threes before. He's shooting at a 33% clip around right now throughout the season, which is not horrible, but it's not great either. You know, you can definitely get better. But during ACC season, he's shooting a lot better than he's shooting about 38%.
Mm-hmm.
So the talent is there. The offense is there. It's just making it a little bit more consistent and catching up to the speed of the game. And I think that's where all freshmen are. I think a lot of freshmen go through that.
With rare exceptions.
With very rare exceptions. Exceptions. And Kihei is not one of those exceptions, per se. He is a very talented player. He's really good on defense. He can shut down people. We've seen him cause a 10-second delay on his own,
mm-hmm.
which is incredible.
Yep.
I think he's a really talented player, but he's a different player than what some other freshman point guards might be.
Yeah.
Who come in and play right away.
You know, one thing that really helped me evaluate Kihei Clark was seeing him go against Chris Likes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Likes is obviously a very talented player, a player that UVA looked at. You know, but incredibly different games, you know, similar sizes, but different games.
Yeah.
And Kihei Clark, I think the best way to describe him right now is that he does good things on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's things that he's good at and there's things that he's not so good at. I think the best way that we can understand Kihei Clark right now is as a ball handler,
mm-hmm.
because he is as good a ball handler as there is on this team. And that's an important role. You know, Nigel Johnson played that role last year and honestly, I think could have played it better. You know, he didn't play the same minutes Kihei Clark did.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at the stats, but I'm pretty positive Kihei Clark is averaging more minutes a game than Nigel Johnson did last year.
I'm almost positive he is.
And it's a role that needs to be filled, and it's a role that needs to be filled well, because when he's on the floor, he can put Kyle and he can put Ty and good positions to make plays. And, you know, Kyle Guy's a great shooter. He's so great off the ball, cutting and getting to the places where he needs to be. And Ty Jerome can handle the ball, but he's also great off the ball, you know? And if he goes to the NBA, I think that's what he's ultimately going to be. I don't think he's a point guard in the NBA. I think he's a two guard. And, you know, he puts players in good positions to make plays. No, I don't think he's at his ceiling yet. And I don't want to debate where his ceiling is, because he didn't have the benefit of a red shirt. You know, he's still learning the game, and I don't know what his ceiling is. I don't even think it's worth debating right now.
I think one thing that really showed me where Kihei's at is there was a one pass during the Notre Dame game, and he saw Jack Salt open down low on the low post, and he bounced it to him, but the Notre Dame defender saw it all the way and stepped right in front of him. He passed it right to the Notre Dame guy. And it's the speed of the game that he's still working around. And he's very quick. He can see the floor really well. He makes a lot of really amazing passes. I mean, that wraparound pass during UNC was
That's
incredible.
Great.
Incredible pass. But definitely still, there's some freshman moments there. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to work with that. You know, Ty had those moments his freshman year, definitely.
Ty didn't play a lot.
I know, and Ty didn't play a lot as a freshman. Kyle didn't play a lot as a, not nearly as much as Kihei's played.
Mm-hmm.
London, you know, special talent, but definitely had moments where we were like, ooh, freshman. Mm-hmm. No, he didn't turn over a lot. I think Kihei turns over a little bit more than London does, but I think he has a lot more amazing passes than London does,
yeah.
Especially during his freshman year, if we're comparing freshman years.
Yeah.
So he's here, and he's doing great things, and I think he can only get better.
Yeah.
He can only get better.
Like, everyone has their initial evaluation, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it, on Kihei Clark.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I think of him. I know you have thoughts on what you think of him.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, I don't know what his ceiling is. I don't know if he's near his ceiling now, or if there's kind of another level he can reach. I don't know. What I'm concerned about right now is what he can do for this year's team. And
mm-hmm.
quite frankly, he's filling a very important role, and a role that he's filling much better than mm-hmm. even preseason I thought he could fill.
Yeah.
You know, he's not, I don't think he's going to be Ty Jerome or a Kyle guy 2 years from now.
No.
I'll say that. I don't think he's going to be that.
No, he's a different player.
Yeah.
He's
and player. I don't think he's going to be a scorer, really. I don't think he'll ever average more than 10 points a game in his mm-hmm. UVA career. And that's fine, as long as we're able to build the players around him and construct the team where he can be effective and he's able to play, you know, to the extent that he's able to be successful.
Yeah, hopefully we never need him to be the leading scorer. Like London, his senior season had to be the leading scorer for UVA. And that's not a situation in which we wanted him to be in,
and,
I think.
Yeah, and that wasn't what he was built to be.
It didn't really work out that well.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fine. I mean, we made a tournament and we made a fine run.
We won a game
in the tournament, but it wasn't special. It was like, London is a special player, but that wasn't the role in which he was best in.
Exactly.
And I think if Tony can set up the team in a way that benefits Kihei, Kihei can be a special player, but he doesn't mm-hmm. need to be the leading scorer on our team. I think that's what we're getting at.
And I think it's important, too, to remember that it's not like Kihei Clark is this one player who's coming in. You know, mm-hmm. he's a freshman, yeah, but you mm-hmm. think about, you know, the guys that we're bringing in, the Casey Morsels, the mm-hmm. Caden Shedricks, you know.
Yeah.
Brad Franklin over at Cavs Corner said he talked to someone who said that Caden Shedrick is the most overlooked guy in this year's recruiting class,
yeah.
that if he had not committed to UVA, he would have all the blue bloods all over him.
Yeah.
And, you know, this isn't a Jay Huff case either, where it's, you know, wait 2 years and see where you get. I mean, mm-hmm. this guy's going to play next season.
Yeah.
And he can have an impact. And, you know, Carson McCorkle on the pipeline. There's a lot of good players coming through UVA. So, mm-hmm. you know, play to your strengths, do what you're good at, and, you know, Tony Bennett's a hell of a coach.
Yeah.
We'll see what he can do with these guys.
And he develops players. I mean, look at Joe Harris. Look at Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah.
Like, he can develop these players over
exactly.
4 or 5 years. And so, hopefully, these next recruiting classes are looking really good so far.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see what happens. But, you know, looking forward. And hopefully, Kihei doesn't have to be the leading scorer
yeah.
ever.
Well, yeah.
That's what we're getting at. But we love him. We love him here. I love him. He's a baller. Like he can play. He can play. Is there anything else you want to add before we get to our game?
Let's set up. Yeah, let's play some games.
Let's play a game. Okay. So the game that Rob and I are playing, and you guys who are listening can play along too. We are going to play a game called the Stat Game, and me and my friends used to play this before UVA games when we'd get into JPJ an hour and a half early and we didn't have anything else to do. So we would look at the stats for the team and we would have one person read them out. We'd ask a stat question like, who has the most rebounds per game? Who shoots the highest percentage of threes per game? And we would see who could get it right. So we're going to play with Rob. Me and Rob are going to play. I'm going to read out the questions. Rob's going to answer them. Rob, don't cheat.
Okay.
And you guys at home, keep score as well. And we'll see who can beat Rob. And Rob, the first question is, who plays the most minutes per game?
Well, we just talked about Kyle Guy playing 40, so I'm going to guess Kyle Guy.
You guess Kyle? And yes. Kyle's correct. Kyle plays 34 minutes per game.
I'm surprised it's not more, honestly.
Really?
I'm surprised it's not more. I would have thought 35 to 36.
Okay. And I bet you can guess the next two as well.
Ty Jerome and DeAndre Hunter. Although I would guess Ty Jerome is second.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah. With 32.4.
What is DeAndre playing, like
31.3.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're all really close together. And, you know, we said at the beginning of the season, like, those three need to have the most minutes per game. They need to be playing 30 minutes a game.
Can I ask who's fourth?
I want you to... That was actually going to be my second question. Who is fourth in minutes after those three?
I want to say Hihei Clark.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Okay.
That's incredible. I wouldn't have guessed that. I would have said... I probably would have said Mamadi.
I was on the fence between he and Mamadi.
Yeah, but Kihei is at four with 25.6 minutes per game.
I think we should say that, talk about a trend more towards smaller ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we haven't appreciated it / seen it as much the past couple of games. I think that shows it.
I think the next order is really interesting too. Braxton is five with 22. Jack is at six with 19. And Mamadi's at seven with 19.
See, I would have thought Mamadi was fifth, not seventh.
I would have thought Mamadi was fourth, but
okay,
that's weird. It's perception, which is weird. Okay, points per game. Who has the most points per game?
I'm gonna guess Kyle Guy again.
You're right, but it's close. It's closer.
I would say DeAndre Hunter second.
Yeah, they both. Kyle Guy has 15.1 points per game, and DeAndre has 15 points per game. So really close. I think. I'm not sure when Kyle jumped him. I know DeAndre was leading for a while this season, but
I know Ty was leading for a lot in the non-conference slate too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was up at least towards the end of the non-conference slate.
Ty's at three with 13. Who's four? That's my next question. Who's fourth?
Is it Mamadi?
It is. I bet you can't guess how many points per game he has.
No, I have no idea.
It's a great number.
6.9.
6.9.
Race to 69.
I know, right?
Okay. Wait, can I ask where Jay Huff stands in points per game?
Jay Huff is at seven. Or no, six. He's at six with a 4.8.
Okay.
He's right behind Braxton and right in front of Jack.
Okay, that makes sense.
Think he doesn't play enough. He has 9.4 minutes per game, but only 4.8 points per game. So he's scoring about half as many points as he plays minutes,
yeah,
which is pretty good, but you know, he's not playing enough minutes to get there.
Yeah.
All right. I think this one's easy. I was gonna ask.
Need to miss it.
What?
I might miss it then.
No. I was gonna say who has the most rebounds per game, and we Braxton.
A week ago it was Braxton.
It's still Braxton, but how many rebounds per game does Braxton get?
Let me guess six.
Six. Exactly six.
Exactly six?
Exactly. 6.0 rebounds per game.
Okay.
That's where he's at. And can you guess where DeAndre is?
I would guess third. DeAndre, behind Mamadi.
DeAndre is second with 5.5. Where's Mamadi?
Like, I would have guessed second. Now I'm guessing third?
No.
No?
No. Keep going.
Fifth?
No.
Fourth?
No.
Sixth?
Yeah.
Really?
Mamadi is sixth on the team with rebounds with 3.8 per game.
So I shouldn't have guessed fourth because I said earlier in the episode. Okay, so let me retrace
this. This is a
Tries
and Guys episode for those who were forgetting.
Let me retrace this. So Braxton is first. Dre is second. So Kyle Guy is fourth. So Jack Salt has to be third.
Mm-hmm.
So fifth is Ty Jerome by virtue of minutes.
You know, actually Ty and Kyle are tied at 4.3.
Okay.
So they're both four. So Mamadi is six.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It is.
That's weird.
I don't know if that's just the scheme that Tony runs where maybe Mamadi doesn't get as many defensive rebounds as the guards do, but I don't know. I guess it's kind of weird.
And again, I don't have a huge basketball background, but I think of Mamadi as, you know, the leading shot blocker.
The bouncing
guy.
The
potential that Mamadi is going for blocks more so than rebounds.
That makes sense.
Potentially, I wouldn't expect him to drop to sixth on the team in rebounds.
Or maybe he's boxing out more and letting the guards rebound a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, there's ways to explain this,
yeah.
But that does surprise me.
Okay.
It does surprise me.
All right. Assists per game.
I mean, it's got to be Ty Jerome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how many more assists per game does he have than the second person? Is it over or under 2.5?
Well, I have no idea who the second person is. I'm guessing Kihei Clark.
No, I want you to answer my okay. first question first. Okay.
So how many more assists does Ty Jerome have than the second person?
Over or under 2.5?
I'm going to say over.
It's over. He has 5.1, and the next person has 2.2. Can you guess who the next person is?
My guess was Kihei Clark.
Your guess is correct, but it's okay. a little bit skewed because he's tied with DeAndre at 2.2 per game.
Gotcha. Wow. Okay. I wouldn't have thought... See, I wouldn't have thought DeAndre mm-hmm. or Kyle, really, is having many assists.
Kyle is right behind them at 2.1.
I guess by virtue of minutes played, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that Dre has
a lot of assists. I wouldn't have thought of that. I see. I would have thought almost Braxton Key mm-hmm. instead of DeAndre.
Really? Braxton is fifth at 1.3.
Okay.
So he's like kind of up there, but he's still pretty far behind.
It's close, but he's not mm-hmm. not there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's significant. You know, over two and a half a game. Mm-hmm. That's real.
Yep. Yeah. All right, and our next stat is steals per game. Who has the most steals per game?
It's Kihei Clark?
No.
God, after that, I have no idea. DeAndre Hunter?
Mm-mm. DeAndre's fifth.
Is it Kyle Guy?
No.
Ty Jerome?
It's Ty. Ty's wow. 1.5 steals per game.
Well, how much separation is there?
So Ty has 1.5, Braxton has 1.1 with 2, and then Kihei's at 0.8 steals per game. Kyle's at 0.6, DeAndre's at 0.6. So it's not a lot of separation, but
it's still fairly significant for, you know, what 15-20%, mm-hmm. you know? That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought that.
Yeah. Blocks per game.
It's Momedy.
Easy.
Well, is Jay Huff second?
Jay Huff is second. That's right. Yeah, that's pretty good. And can you guess three?
Is it Dre?
No.
Jack?
No.
Braxton?
It's Braxton.
Okay.
Yeah, Momedy is at one with 1.5 blocks per game. Jay Huff is at 0.9, and then Braxton's at 0.6. So, yeah, that's pretty good.
That's interesting.
All right, this is a bad stat, but turnovers per game. Who has the most turnovers per game?
I want to say Jack Salt.
It's actually not. He's six.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so he doesn't turn over, actually, that okay. much.
I guess maybe he doesn't have possession when he goes out of bounds.
he doesn't hold the ball enough.
Is it Kihei Clark?
No.
DeAndre Hunter?
Mm-mm.
Well, it shows... Ty Jerome?
It's Ty.
Okay. Well, I guess that makes sense,
1.7.
So what's his assist-to-turnover ratio?
So he has 5.1 assists per game. He has... 1.7 assists per game. Do the math. You're the math guy. Hold on. Let me...
So close to 3.
Yeah.
Close to 3-1.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
That's better than most people.
Yeah, I think... Because, you know, he's doing a lot more driving this season. And so I think there's some of that in there as well as passing. In the past couple games, he's been a little sloppy with it. Mm. A little sloppy Joe. But hopefully he'll keep it up. Kyle is second with 1.4 turnovers per game.
Yeah.
And Dre and Kihei are tied at 1.2. So we don't turn it over very often.
It's weird because we normally don't turn it over very often. And mm-hmm. then we had that stretch where we were turning over a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, against Notre Dame, we only turned it over 8 times, which is a good number. That's in line with our season average. So hopefully that's more of the things to come. And, you know, Ty had 3 turnovers in that game to 3 assists.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you take what you can. So hopefully that's a trend that kind of goes back to where we were about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay. Our next one, this is going to be a fun one. So who has the highest field goal percentage on the team?
Oh, man. See, before you told me we were playing this game, I knew who had the highest 3-point percentage on the team, but I did not look who had the highest field goal percentage.
Okay.
There's so many ways you could spin this. And I almost want to say Jack Salt. I almost want to say Jack Salt, and I think I've talked myself into it. Jack Salt.
It's not Jack, but you're close. You're close. And I this is kind of a trick question because it's Grant Kiersey.
Does that even count?
It counts. I mean, he hasn't missed a field goal this year.
What's the minimum shots?
ESPN doesn't take that into account. So all ESPN is telling me is that he has the highest field goal percentage. But if we don't count, if we're just saying non-Grant players, you're still wrong.
Okay. Let me go Momedy.
Mm-mm.
No? Okay. Well, after that, I have no idea. Is it Trey?
No.
Kyle.
No, you think about it. Think about it harder. You can get this one.
Think about it harder.
Yeah.
Is it one of our eight-man rotation?
Yeah.
Is it Braxton?
No.
Is it Kyle?
No.
Who do I have left?
It's Jay.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
62.3% field goal percentage.
Wow.
And your man Jack is second at 60.
A lot of dunks.
And then Momedy, 55.9. So, DeAndre is next at 53.4. So, I mean, it's interesting that all the big men are first. And the one that shoots threes is the highest.
That's actually, you know, again, limited sample size. Yeah. But that really surprised me.
But is
me.
It limited at this point? I mean, I think he's played enough. Like, in each game, he is doing this.
I'm not saying, I guess, limited in the traditional sense, but the lowest minutes out of anyone in that eight-man rotation.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, but I think it's interesting that even though he doesn't play that much, he does this, he seems to do, except for Notre Dame, he does this many games.
Yeah.
He comes in and scores almost as many points as he plays minutes.
Notre Dame, he did not attempt a field goal.
Yeah, he had a trillion. He had three trillion.
He did not attempt a field goal, so that surprises me. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yeah. All right, free throw percentage.
Kyle Guy.
No, you're wrong. And this, once again, is non-Grant players, because Grant has made every free throw this season.
So this is top eight players?
Top
eight in the rotation.
No. This one is not in the rotation, but he's played some this season.
Okay. Cody Statman?
Cody Statman at 88.9%. Kyle is next at 83.7%.
What does that put him? 8 of 9?
Yeah, 8 of 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I see that. Out of our rotation guys, is Kyle Guy mm-hmm. number one?
Yeah, he's number one at 83.7.
Okay. It should be higher, by the way. I think that should be higher. And
what,
I think
what do you mean
Ty
it
Jerome,
be higher?
Well, he's capable of shooting better percentage.
He is, I think.
So is Ty too. Jerome. I think Ty Jerome's like in the 70s, I think.
Do you know what Ty shoots?
I would guess 73, 74.
74. 74.6.
So I think they're both capable of getting that higher over the next month.
Question for you. What does Jack Salt shoot from free throws?
I know a couple weeks ago he was over 50%.
So that was before he completely missed the rim.
That's
on
right.
The backboard.
That shouldn't even count. I would guess 55. 55 on the season.
48.5.
Okay. So he's back under 50%.
Yeah. Yeah. Hack a jack.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. I mean, you know, anywhere in the 40 to 60 range, that seems about right to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Once again, non-Grant players.
Okay.
Who is, we're talking three-point percentage now. Who shoots the best threes?
Well, I looked this up before the game. So can I ask how many shots Grant Kiersey has taken from three?
I think it's three.
So he's three for three?
It's either two or three.
Put him number one either way.
It's two.
So he's, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's DeAndre Hunter, right?
No.
Oh, well, I misread that.
Jay. Jay Huff.
Really? What is he shooting?
52.9% from three.
Well, Dre is
46.3.
Okay, so he's second.
Who's after after Dre? I just said it.
I'd guess. So it's Momedy?
It's Momedy. Would you have guessed Momedy, though?
No. Well, it's interesting because I knew, what, Kyle Guy is shooting like 43% from mm-hmm. three. Is that right? 43?
Yeah, Kyle's shooting 43.6.
Okay, so 44. So he's shooting mm-hmm. 44, but on a lot higher volume.
Yeah.
I think the shot, he's taken like 160, and the next closest person shots, I don't remember, but it's like 110 from three.
Yeah, so Kyle's at 165 and Ty is at 112.
So now, a lot higher.
Yeah, but now
50% higher.
Now Momedy has a higher percentage, but he's only taken 11
yeah.
threes, and he's made five of them. So it's pretty good. It's pretty good, but like, it's not a lot. It's not at a high clip.
So I mean, think about that though. Think about how good that is. That Kyle guy is shooting as well as he is. You know, 44% on 50%, call it, more volume than anyone else on the team.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that. I like that. And he's, you know, people talk about this, is that he's a guy that, with rare exceptions, I'm not mad when he takes a three, even if it misses badly, because I know he has a shot to make every shot he takes.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think that, once again, going back to Jay, you know, why doesn't he play more if he's shooting at this high of a clip, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. And that's interesting.
Well, one thing I want to ask you is that, to me, Jay Huff, every shot he takes is from the top of the key. Mm-hmm. Do you remember any shot Jay Huff has taken from three this season where he's not at the top of the three-point line?
No. No, but I think that's just the natural pick-and-pop position.
Yeah?
I don't know a lot about pick-and-pop, but I think if you were to pick-and-pop...
Or mover blocker, guys.
Yeah, I know, but if you set a pick, you know, you're going to... I think roll to the top of the key, and I think that's what Tony has done for him, is put him in a position to where he can make those threes at a higher clip.
One thing I am interested to see from Jay Huff over the next 2 years while we have him, assuming we have him for two more years, is going to be whether or not that three-point shot changes, whether or not they move him kind of more to the wing, more to the corner. You know, is it always going to be at the top?
Or if he stays at the top?
Because right now, I can't think of a shot he's taken where he wasn't at the top of the three-point arc.
Yeah.
Just something to throw out there.
Interesting. Okay, my last question. What is our average height on the team? This is according to KenPom.
So this includes everybody.
This includes everyone. Walk-ons, probably not Tony Bennett, but all the players.
I will guess... Let's say 6'4".
Close. It's 6'5.3". Okay. So 77.3 inches is the average. So that's 6'5.3". So you're pretty close. So, okay. But so, that's interesting, because what do you think of as like our normal lineup? Our starting lineup now has Kihei in it.
Yeah, so I would say the two players under that would be Kyle Guy and Kihei Clark. Right? Is there anyone else underneath it in our normal rotation?
Kyle's listed at 6'2".
Kihei's
listed at 5'9".
Ty yeah. Jerome is 6'5".
Mm-hmm.
So really, really what's bringing us down is our bench, right? Yeah.
Marco's listed at 6'4".
Okay. But he's not really in the rotation.
But really, our bench, the only one under 6'5 is Jaden Nixon, and he's at 6'3". Grant Kersey isn't even listed on KenPom.
Wow.
Yeah. So
you gotta get him up there.
So our average height would probably be a little bit lower. Yeah. So it might be closer to 6'4", but Castro is not listed there. So, or sorry, Grant Kersey.
Yeah. Kersey. Yeah. No, I mean, that's an interesting stat. And I can't compare it to years past, but I want to say that's taller than what we normally are. And I want to say that's taller than what a lot of the teams we play are.
The average height for the country is 76.8 inches, which is only 0.5 less than us.
Okay, so we're above average.
We're 101st in the nation in height, if that makes a difference to you.
Okay, we'll take it.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
All right, and that was the game. That was our game. That was about 20 minutes of questions, so you did pretty good. Do you know what your score was?
No.
It was pretty bad, I think. I didn't keep track. I kept track.
I think I was on track. I think if you were taking SOLs, you would get that on track score.
On track.
You'd be able to move to the next grade.
Passing. We call that proficient in
you know this better than I do.
I do. You would probably be remediated a little bit
but I would pass the next grade, right?
You'd definitely go to the next grade.
Oh, well, that's great. That's great.
That's all you need.
Hit the bare minimum.
That's all you need. Before we go on to some yells, I want to talk about the next two games. We play at Tech on Monday. That's a big Monday game at 7. And we play at Louisville the next Saturday. And that's also away. And that's at noon. So how do you feel about those two games coming up?
Tech has me scared. We talked about this. Virginia Tech, we normally blow them out one game, and the second game is 50-50. Who knows who wins? Typically, it's still UVA, but lots of times it's Virginia Tech, too.
Yeah.
So that has me a little scared.
But they don't have Justin Robinson.
And we don't know what exactly is wrong with Justin Robinson. We've heard rumors, but we don't know exactly what's wrong with Justin Robinson. And that makes a difference. He's a heck of a player.
What one of our sources has said that he is not playing in this game.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing this game. I think we would know if he was out for the season.
Right.
That's what we were talking about. We would know if he was out for the season right. because Tech would announce that. I think they're holding out hope he can play in the ACC / NCAA tournament. But I don't know. He's still in a walking boot from what I know.
Yeah. Well, you know, UVA puts people in a boot for literally any, like stubbing their toe, they get in a walking boot. So that can mean anything, but I think he is actually really hurt. So hopefully he gets back soon because he's a really good player and it's good for the state if, you know, Tech is good.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're fun. It's fun. The rivalry is more fun if they're good.
I want it in basketball and I want it in football too. I want every matchup to be a top 25 matchup.
Yeah.
Preferably where we're top 10 and Tech is like 24, 25, but it makes it more fun.
Yeah. And so on Monday, Tech is 22 right now. That I think, I don't know if they're going to move up or not.
I imagine they'll stay roughly the same.
They'll probably stand around 20 or so. And we'll probably move up to 3 because we're 4 right now. And Tennessee just got blown out by Kentucky. So they might move to 4. My guess is that's going to be Duke. And then who's 3 right now? Is it Gonzaga?
I think so.
Yeah, so Duke, Gonzaga, UVA, Tennessee. That's what I think is going to be. But it could be... could be Duke, Gonzaga, Tennessee, UVA. It just depends on.
Yeah.
My guess is that we'll move up to 3.
Yeah. 3 or 4, I think, is safe.
Yeah. So 4 versus 20 is going to be safe, and it'll be a good game. And, you know, Castle's going to be hot as balls, and, you know, the
they'll
crowd.
They'll say it's sold out. It'll be like, it's going to be like 4,000 open seats.
Yeah. You know, I was actually in Castle one time. My fourth year, me and a friend went. Me and Abby went, one of the guys.
Shout out. Overall girls.
Yeah, overall girls. Yeah, we went and that was the game that we went to double overtime and London's shot got stuck on the rim and we lost our minds. Anyway, but, you know, Castle's a kind of a nice, it's not nice, but.
It's definitely not nice. They have those, quote, big ass fans.
They've got the big ass fans.
Like you see in like Boy Scout cafeterias.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a cool environment, and their team is much better this year. So I think the crowds have been better. Mm-hmm. So it'll be good. It'll be good. It'll be a good environment. And Louisville is good this year, which we didn't think they would be.
Yeah.
But they almost blew it. They blew it against Duke. They really blew it against Duke.
No doubt. No doubt.
And they almost just blew it against Clemson. So it'll be interesting to see how they rebound from that against a really good team at home. They'll definitely come to play. So. Yeah. But we have owned Louisville in the past. They've only won once against us since we joined the ACC.
And, you know, Dustin and I, we think have a special episode lined up. We'll let you know when we do, but we think we have a special episode
lined up.
No,
we do have a special episode lined up. We're going to make it happen.
So look forward to that. We'll reveal more about that when that comes. But, you know, this is a new kind of era for Louisville. You know, this is a team that most people didn't expect to be good. They don't have the talent as far as players go that they normally do. You know, you don't look at their bench and see a lot of NBA guys on there. You know, obviously not Rick Pitino. So it's a different feel to this Louisville team, but, you know, they got some players and we saw what they can do against Duke and Duke did Duke-like things for the final 10 minutes and that's all it took to beat Louisville.
Yeah.
But, you know, Louisville took it to them for 30 minutes.
Yeah. And so it's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to watch it and I'm excited to watch it with you. And that's all the hint I'm going to give about our next episode. But I think you want to give some yells or is there anything else you want to talk about?
I mean, I think that hits the storylines, man.
Okay.
I think that hits it.
Awesome. So I want to give a yell to Joe Harris, of course, who just won the 3-point contest last night in the NBA All-Star Weekend. So former UVA great. Probably should have his number retired, or at least jersey retired at some point, just because he helped build this program back. We always talk about the meeting with Tony Bennett at Tony's house after the Tennessee loss, and Joe went there and really helped bring this team, got their first number one seed in the NCAA tournament, God knows how long. So Joe really meant a lot to this program, and good to see him finally, you know, get some recognition in the NBA for a good player that he is.
Joe, what my brother says is that Joe Harris is Kyle Korver 2.0. Expect to see Joe Harris in the league for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a skill set that matters.
Yeah.
That matters.
Yeah, and especially nowadays where they're trying to spread it out so much. I've actually got one more.
Go for
and
it.
We just talked about Louisville, and Papa John of Papa John's fame has his name all over Louisville. But
used to have his name all over Louisville.
Used to, but he was recently spotted behind the bench at the Kentucky game. So, interesting twist of events. Shout out to, yell to Papa John. Good pizza. Not a great guy, probably.
I don't want him to be one of the guys. If he's one of the guys, we'll take him.
He's probably racist. That's all. I mean, all that stuff was coming out about the stuff he did.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff.
But, you know, yell to Papa John for being just causing drama between Kentucky and Louisville. And what about you, Rob? What do you got?
I want to give a shout out to the AAFL, believe it is.
Yes.
Because it is the league that we all want. The football league that we all, you know, at least like for the time being, we mm-hmm. like. There are some UVA players on that team. You know, you got David Dean, mm-hmm. former defensive tackle. He's on the Atlanta team. I want to say it's John Montellus, or maybe it's Brandon Pertile. There's another offensive lineman on the Atlanta team.
Okay.
So we're just going to give a shout out to them because there are UVA guys in this league.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it's going to be. I kind of like it.
It's fun. It's like the NFL, but more fun. There's like bigger hits, and you know the guys don't care if they're getting brain damage or not.
Just the fact that the quarterback's helmet flew off when he got sacked just made me happy.
And there's no flag.
Yeah, it was perfect. And so hopefully it's David Dean in a couple weeks doing the same thing. And I don't even know how many games they play. I think there's seven teams. I'm pretty sure there's seven. I don't know how this thing
it's
works.
Kind of a weird amount of.
I don't even know if we'll see them on national TV anymore.
They were on TNT. The other night, I watched like 5 minutes of it before I turned it off.
Well, I watched Trent Richardson yesterday in my parents' hotel room drive down for that game-winning drive. Birmingham against Salt Lake.
Okay.
It was 6-9. Of course. What else? What other score would it be? And Trent Richardson, you know, great, great NFL talent.
Mm-hmm.
JK, great college talent, not NFL. But anyway, he ran in for the touchdown, and I'm assuming Birmingham won. I don't know for sure. I didn't finish the game.
We didn't check. That's the great thing about this is that you can see the highlights of this league, like the hits, the touchdowns, but you don't have to actually care at all. So it's like great.
It's, you know, growing up, I had a PS2 and I was in sixth or seventh grade. I got a Arena Football League mm-hmm. game for the PS2, and the Arena Football League sucked. And it was nowhere close to NCAA when they were still making those games, mm-hmm. nowhere close to Madden. But the one good thing about the Arena Football League is that you could, if you hit the truck stick, mm-hmm. you could hit them over the walls into the Coke machines on the sideline. And it was just a great feeling.
That's perfect.
So I like the feel in the AAFL. David Dean, you were a good player at UVA. Please do that to someone
I think it's just
else.
The AAF.
AAF.
The Association of
American Football. Yeah, no, there's no
football.
L in there. There's no L.
There's no L. You're adding
right.
it.
You're right. It's just the AAF.
I think it's just the it's Association. Or anyway. It's the Alliance of American Football.
Is that what it is?
I think it is. I think it's Alliance.
I like you, David Dean. Just hit some guys for me.
Hit some dudes.
Knock some cool QB's helmets off.
But I think that's it for us this week, and hope you guys enjoyed the game that we played. We might do it later. We might not, but we'll see. Next week, we'll keep you updated on the special episode that we have going on. But make sure to follow us on Twitter at Guys and Ties Pod. Make sure to follow us on Snapchat and Instagram at Guys and Ties Pod. Definitely respond to us if we send anything out. We love getting responses from you guys. Make sure to follow us on Podbean and iTunes if you want to keep hearing Rob and I talk about UVA sports and answer these dumb questions that we ask each other. And we'll see y'all next week. Beat Tech, beat Louisville.
Go Hoos.
It's rivalry week, baby.
It is.
Go Hoos.